from windy outer space. Windy outer space.
This is the Wookiee Satellite Radio Network, GE7, transponder 5, 7.5 megahertz wideband audio.
This is RFD, Internet Radio for the New Millennium.
The Wookiee.
HDTV Radio, just like real life, but better resolution.
Frank R.C.
Quack, quack.
WDND LP, Macomb, Illinois.
106.3 FM.
The voice.
Good evening. You're listening to Tech This. My name is Byron Lee, and we have Mark Bernay on the phone, and possibly Strom Carlson and some other people. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Strom is not on with me yet because he was going to go out to that payphone, which I think will take him a while to get there.
Okay. Well, tell me the story of how you became a freak and what kind of things were involved.
Well, basically, it had to do with my family moving at one point from a Bell System, a city that had Bell System phones in it, to a city that had General Telephone in it. Actually, it was just a move across the city of Los Angeles, but part of Los Angeles was Bell System, part of it was General.
Ah.
And when we moved to General, I just noticed that just a lot of subtle things just seemed different. There was something going on, something that sounded different about it, and it just got me very curious. I'm not really sure why. So I started reading up on it and learning what the differences were and started playing with the phone a little bit, and I just kind of noticed, probably just by accident, that if I clicked the hook switch not quite enough to hang up, their General Telephone would kind of react in funny ways in some cases just by manipulating the hook switch and things. So partly I just kind of discovered some things on my own playing around like that. Partly it got me curious enough to go to an engineering library and just read up about General Telephone equipment. And partly I just kind of stumbled into these loop around test numbers that could be used as a conference. So I started running into other people who knew about phones.
Neat. I hear that they, and we discussed this with Strom earlier, that there was a piece of documentation that disclosed the frequencies used to use the telephone system. And once freaks got a hold of this stuff, they were making homemade boxes and whistles and using organs and all kinds of things to generate these tones. Is that how you came across it, or did someone tell you about the tones, or how did you come across it?
No, I came across the tones. Let's see. Okay, first of all, I personally never owned a blue box. I saw people getting arrested for it, whereas I never saw anyone getting arrested for anything else, so I personally stayed away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was aware of the tones and all that. But how did I first learn about it? Very possibly from other people I just ran into, or possibly, I'd say I did read a lot of magazines published by the telephone companies themselves for their engineers and their internal purposes, but that were available to the public, and I probably saw a lot of that there. I really don't remember how I first heard about 2600, for example, but probably from somebody else. I just don't remember.
Ah.
And I did. See, 2600, you could make calls back then with 2600 simulating a dial in some cases. You could sometimes make free calls without needing a blue box just by making pulses of 2600, just like a old-fashioned rotary dial would make pulses into the phone line.
Mm-hmm.
So just me and a couple of my friends rigged up these boxes. Well, first of all, you know, you may probably have heard of the Captain Crunch whistle, the whistles that used to be in boxes of Captain Crunch cereal.
Oh, yes.
And those make two frequencies simultaneously, but if you put some glue in one of the holes, you can get it down to one frequency, which was a pretty pure 2600. So we learned to just manipulate our tongue. Actually, I should go get it. I have some Captain Crunch whistle. I could go get it and simulate that for you. But we could dial, make a series of pulses just with our tongue on the whistle. But then we got tired of doing that, so we made an electronic thing with a constant source of 2600 and then a real phone dial that would pulse it. So the 2600 would normally be blocked by the contacts of the dial, but then you turn the dial and it would start sending the the pulses, so we would make calls that way with it. And I say no one ever seemed to get busted doing that, even though we were making the same free calls other people would make with a blue box.
Yeah. Well, I guess the blue box is more attention-getting. You know, somebody walking up to a phone with a big thing with lots of dials and things on it, that's just more attention-getting. From what I understand, they made blue boxes that could, like, destroy themselves if they had gotten busted. They could use some sort of signal to make it burn. And a few other tricks that kind of made it look like if you'd gotten busted that you weren't doing what they were accusing you of doing.
I don't know anyone who really did that, but you could. I mean, nowadays with microprocessors and stuff, your blue boxes still work. You could make one with a microprocessor that you just punch a code in that it would shut itself down and never work again unless someone knew the password to reactivate it, I guess. But
yeah.
But back then, I don't know. I never really heard of people doing a self-destruct thing, although I suppose they could.
Yeah, that kind of picked that up from the Esquire article, which got a lot of freaks in trouble back in the 70s.
Right.
I was talking to John Draper a couple of years. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but I was talking to him a couple of years ago, and we were talking about how he would kind of social engineer the cops when they'd come up to him and see him at a payphone. They'd ask him, you know, what's this box? And he'd say, oh, it's just a musical toy. And he'd, like, you know, make musical notes with the blue box and things, and they would leave him alone. But eventually, after the Esquire article, got busted and ended up in prison for a while. And
yeah.
I heard that, you know, a lot of the things in jail is, you know, it's a social university. You know, one crook shows another person how to do something else, and then another guy shows somebody else how to do something else. And one of the things he ended up doing to keep from getting harassed while he was in jail was teaching people how to blue box and how to freak the telephone system.
Right. I've heard him say that it was mafia people that did it, and the knowledge went on to be used by mafia people to make free calls for their gang and things. Right. I don't personally have any knowledge of that, but I've heard the captain say that.
Ah. Okay, well, let's. I guess we could get into the technical aspect of freaking the telephone system, which none of this stuff really works anymore. I mean, there's a few tricks that actually still work, but what doesn't work anymore and what does? I mean, compared to back in the 70s when all this technology worked and they were still using old stuff, how much of it is really still around anymore?
Of the old stuff with blue boxes and all that, it's extremely rare. I have, again, not personally tested, but I have heard strong rumors that are kind of believable of a couple of situations where one might still use a blue box today, but basically the telephone system no longer listens to what's going on the line. The reason the old things used to work is that the trunking system, you know, the long-distance circuits, would listen for the 2600 cycle frequency as their clue that someone hung up.
Uh-huh.
So when you hung up your phone, your central office would pick up the direct drop in basically the switch would close when you hung up the phone, and your central office would know that, and if it was a long-distance call, it would then start sending a continuous burst of 2600 down the line to show that that trunk was now available for another call. And they had no filters or anything that would stop you from doing a 2600 yourself.
Uh-huh.
So because there was equipment at the other end of the line listening for 2600, you could do a little bit of 2600 yourself and reset the equipment at the other end to expect a new call to come in. And then sometimes with bursts of 2600 as dial pseudo-dial pulses, or sometimes with a blue box, you could then dial another call into that. But nowadays, there's nothing listening. The signaling is all done out of band. It's a totally computer network type of signaling that has nothing to do with the call you're on and the sounds that you hear. So you can blow 2600 all you want and make blue box tones and nothing's listening to it. So that's why that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. So pretty much, I mean, the only thing that may do it is if, you know, maybe there's technology on display, you know, like at these telephone museums that might actually do it. But other than that, you know, none of it's hooked up anymore. You can't do it from your home.
Yeah, the rumors are that Yeah, you know how if an American travels overseas, AT&T will encourage you to call these USA direct numbers that AT&T has in
right.
most countries of the world? Well, visitors from other countries are told the same thing by their local phone company. Their phone company gives them phone numbers all over the world, including in the United States, to call back to their country.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard strong rumors that some of those circuits are blue boxable still. Some
yeah.
of them still use 2600 and still use blue boxes.
Well, you'd think like in third world countries and things like that, they wouldn't have the resources to upgrade the telephone system to a digital way of doing things. So they probably still use a lot of the old technology in third world countries and you know, places overseas.
Although, on the other hand, though, maybe they never really had much of a phone system. Now they finally have one, so it would be very modern.
Yeah.
You'll find that also.
Oh, yeah. I was kind of looking around on the Internet preparing for the show, and I found this one website, 2600.com, and they have a lot of info. One thing I found was pictures of phone booths from all around the world.
Yeah, the 2600 is really a magazine, and they've always traditionally had pictures of payphones in the inside front cover, I think, or the back cover somewhere in the magazine. They always have some payphone pictures like that.
Ah.
Which I should really contribute. I have some pictures like that I've taken that I never get around to contributing them to them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's really cool. I'm just absolutely fascinated by telephones, and I think I was discussing this earlier that the Art Bell episode with Captain Crunch, John T. Draper, had gotten me really into it. I mean, I was up from like midnight until 4 a.m. listening to this thing on edge. Like, this is so cool. So that's kind of what sprung me into this. And then our friend Mimsy plays these phone trips that you have on your website on his show every once in a while. So I've been playing those all night and talking to you and Strom. So I am just hoping that...
Strom is calling me right now. Hold on one second because he's calling me.
Okay, I think we might have Strom Carlson on the telephone, on the other line. So we're gonna wait for Mark to come back.
You want to just hide
in? Okay, I hear talking.
Hold on. The number. Well, actually, hold on. Let me not give the number over the air. Probably. Hold on one second.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, we're going to wait for him to give out a number. I don't know if he's going to private the number to me, if I'm supposed to call him or what, but I don't know how to do three-way phone calling on the Vonage. I've never tried it before.
Yeah, you just click the hook switch like anything else. It'll just go through. I can add him. Yeah, I can just add him on. I can do a phone company three-way that should be loud enough.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just do that.
Okay, well, just wait for him to come back on the line with... I hear ringing.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Strom. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, so, Strom, you're on the corner of the street at a payphone at the moment?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So, I was playing with a payphone at my college earlier today, and I found something interesting. This is also an old Western Electric single slot. And so what I'm going to do is I've received an incoming call in here. I'm going to stick one coin into the phone.
Okay.
And you'll hear, I don't think you'll hear anything now. Let me try dropping the quarter in. Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try hanging up the phone. And I'm going to go on hook for about, 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
And usually for a couple minutes, I think we've got about two more minutes. You're going to hear ECTS come back on and ask me to deposit more coins, and you're going to hear the sound of the coin collect pulse kind of buzzing through the line.
Right.
So I'm on the corner here, and there's cars going by, and I'm just standing under the sign.
Oh, man. We got the volume, cranked up all the way. It's still kind of hard to hear you.
Okay.
Is there any way that you might be able to amplify his call at all over there, Mark?
No, I have no way to do that right now, no.
Okay.
Unless we could call him back, the only other way to do it is through a phone company three-way.
Yeah, that might be a better way to do it, because we can't really hear him at all.
But what you're trying to express to show, can you do it that way?
I can't do it if you call me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe just we can do that some other time.
Yeah. Well, let's just wait for the disconnect pulse. I mean, the coin collect pulse.
Okay.
Which should be coming up in, but any second now. Hopefully.
Okay.
We've got one more minute to go.
Okay.
So anyway, what were we talking about?
Well, we were kind of talking about, you know, basically the coin, you know, being able to drop a coin in there and not having to pay for the call, I guess, is what we were discussing. I can't, you know, all these technical issues make your mind kind of melt there. I can't really, do you remember what we're talking about at all?
No, but there's just so many things. We were talking about the blue boxes and whether they still work today.
10 cents, please. Please deposit 10 cents for the next 1 minute.
Where's the dime? Where's the dime?
Oh, okay. We heard the beep for the dime.
So there you heard it.
All right. That's really interesting. It's now, do you hear that on the phone yourself? Do you hear that coming back through your receiver? Or is that only hearable from the person you're talking to on the other line?
I can hear it fine. I hear the I hear the beeps of the coins going in.
Ah. Okay. Well, I guess what you might want to do, Mark, is have him call back on the cell phone.
And,
okay.
I'll see you there.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Yeah, he also knows of a phone, but much farther away from where he is, that has the coin mechanism is broken such that you drop quarters in,
yeah,
and they activate the tones, but they don't. But the quarters then come back, so he can sit there making long distance calls all day long just by dropping enough quarters in to satisfy the machine. But we're just dropping the same quarter in over and over again.
I wonder how long now. Did he just discover that, or has that been broken for a while?
He's known it for a while. Yeah, he's known it for 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and it hasn't been fixed yet. And he says he's never seen anyone else using it, so people haven't discovered it either.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's just kind of one of those phones that's in the dark corners and no one's really using it. And
yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, that's really cool.
But you could, we were talking about what kind of boxes still work. The red box would still work. The red box is just a box that simulates those tones that a payphone would make.
Uh-huh.
And that still works just fine because payphones really haven't changed that much for 30 years.
Now, we were talking, I was talking to Strom about freak fiction. And a lot of people write up documentation that's basically completely false. Like something about silver and gold and rainbow boxes and all these things that do not work anymore. Do you know anything about that, or if there's any truth involved in that?
Okay, I've never been involved with all the different colors. I kind of know what sorts of things are possible and what sorts of things aren't, but I've never really been involved in how people come up with these color names. So sometimes when I see a strange one like that, I look up on the Internet to see what it's supposed to do, and some of them sound believable, and I do know about it, but just not with that name, and some of them I just don't believe.
Oh, okay.
I guess you have to name a specific thing and see if I know anything about it.
Okay. Can you give us any sources on... I know there's a few websites out there that may give you misleading information out there. 2600, it seems to be a fairly reliable resource. Can you relate to us to any other websites that might give us reliable information about freaking in the past or in today?
You know, not offhand. I do have a lot of bookmarks for things, but I wasn't prepared for that question, so no, I don't.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now.
Well, hey, I completely understand. A lot of the addresses I go to from day to day, even though I like visit them every day, they're on my bookmarks. I'm not going to be able to remember the URL.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But there are some other history ones besides mine. There are some other very good history sites, but just offhand, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I always want to do a bookmark page for mine, but I never get around to it. I do have another one. I used to run a newsletter. Actually, let me plug one other thing, although I haven't run this for a couple of years. But I also have webskulker.com, webskulker.com, where I was writing a daily newspaper, a newsletter for a while on phone issues and Internet issues, things like that. And that has an archive of a year's worth or so of of newsletters that have some information.
Ah. Somebody in the chat room wants to call in, but I don't have any idea how to do a three-way call on the Vonage. Would you have any idea on how in the heck you do that?
An outgoing one, just click the hook switch like anything else.
Okay.
And you should just get another dial tone. It won't be stuttered. It'll sound like a regular dial tone, but it should act like a three-way one.
Okay. Let's see if I can arrange that. Let's see. If the person who wants to call in the chat room, if you want to give me a call, well, no, that won't work either. I'm going to have to call you.
You'll have to call them, yeah. They'll have to tell you privately a number, and you'll have to call them.
Okay, let's see here. Well, I've got a private message, but that was just Leanne kind of relaying the message to me. Well, I hear a phone ringing. Oh, I know what I can do. We have two, why didn't I think of this? We have two lines here. I can just do this. Hang on. Hang on just a second while I bring up this. Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hmm. Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's sounding really awful.
Hang on just a second here.
Okay.
I know what's wrong. Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Perfect. Hi. Okay.
Sounds like some old sounds like old-fashioned carrier noises, doesn't it? Yeah, we're getting a loud echo now.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine, but I don't hear Byron, though.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, who do we have on the line here?
Lloyd. You have him on.
Okay, we were having some technical issues, so Mark and the caller, can you both hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Okay, all right. Seems like we've got everything under control now.
Okay.
So you wanted to ask a question about Verizon?
No, actually I wanted to say something about Verizon.
Okay.
There's this payphone by me, and I was down there the other day trying to make a phone call, but I didn't have any money. So this homeless guy comes up to me, and he shows me a way of making a free phone call out of it just by pressing down the coin switch.
Oh.
Yes.
That's not normal.
Yeah, I know. It only works on that payphone.
And you press it down after you have a dial tone? And
yeah.
And after you dial it or while you're dialing?
Okay, I'll pick up the receiver and then I'll push down the coin receiver switch. And then while the dial tone is going on, I'll also hear this very loud buzzing noise during
okay.
that noise.
Yeah, I can explain exactly what's going on, although I don't know why the phone is doing that particular thing. But the way that payphones know that you dropped coins in, actually, it's not the payphone. The payphone knows you drop coins in because it has sensors that directly detect the coins.
Uh-huh.
But the way that the central office knows that you drop coins in is that the payphone makes a very brief connection.
Well, this is very strange. We're getting very weird noises. What am I
getting right now, it sounds like. So
wow, that's really annoying.
Yeah,
yep.
It is. Okay, well, we've got two Gatners here turned on at the same time, and it seems like it doesn't really like having two callers on at the same time. But we're going to have to...
It sounds like you're getting feedback by trying to amplify the connection.
Okay, let's see. I just turned one of you guys down, and it seems to solve it a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
So, what were you saying about the switch?
Okay, so... Well, the traditional way of doing that same thing is if the payphone's wires are exposed, you know, then if you take one of the wires from the payphone, one of the two wires and connect it to ground briefly, that will do the same signal as though the payphone had gotten coins.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like this phone has some weird defect in the coin return switch because you see you're getting a loud hum, which is exactly what you get.
If you
put the phone line to ground, you get a loud hum. So it sounds like something going on in that phone that's shorting to ground when you flip the switch. So it basically signals the federal office the same way that the phone would, that there are coins in it.
So
there's two different ways. The federal office is notified of coins in two different ways. Well, for a local call, it's notified by that brief pulse of ground. for a long distance call, it then uses those tones. You know, it switches in a tone receiver and then counts the pulse of the tone.
Yeah. Now, I haven't tried making a long distance call from it yet. Do you think it would work?
It would only help you for a local call. For a long distance call, it won't make any difference because you wouldn't need to drop coins.
Oh.
In the beginning, anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for your answers and everything.
Oh, sure.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, well, thank you very much for calling, and let's see, I hope I take off the right Gettner.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, are you still there with me?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, sorry about the technical issues. We've always had problems with these phone patches, but I think I discovered what's wrong with it. If you have the bottom Gettner too loud, the second one, the one on the top that you're on right now, seems to get really screwed up, so... He was sounding okay, and then you were getting all distorted and sounded like you're in a can or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by getting there, but it sounded like you're getting feedback by trying to amplify both lines too much, and they start feeding back into each other.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what was happening.
Yeah.
So it looks like we've got it fixed. Unfortunately, you know, you were a little, I think it was either, it was he was a little low because I had to turn him down so that way we could hear you, but we could hear the conversation. But it's very weird how this Gettner works. The Gettner is kind of like a digital phone patch, as far as I've been told. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but there's a Gettner frequency extender that gives you more bottom and top end, but that's not what we're using. We're using something else that's kind of just like a digital phone patch.
So it's meant to be from a phone into a radio? Is really
yeah.
What it's meant for? Well, that's why then, if you're trying to take two of them back-to-back, they're not meant for that, so they'll feed back into each other. It'll be too loud, and they'll hear each other and start feeding back, making, you know, a lot of feedback from it. But the feedback won't have any delay, because it's not sound feedback with time delay because of the speed of sound. You know, the feedback will be such a high frequency that it won't really sound like feedback, but it'll make an interference like that.
Yeah. Very, very strange noises.
Yeah.
So, I guess are we going to get Strom? Excuse me.
I think he gave up. It just seemed too technically difficult to get him on the right way. Shows that he said he was just going to go back home.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a bummer. But well, at least we did kind of get to explore the the coin tones and all that good stuff. Now, if you tape record those tones, it won't work. He was saying because they use the coin to flip some sort of switch inside the phone, so you can't...
Well, that's for the local call. Like I was just telling that other gentleman, that's making a free local call is a very different story from making a free long-distance call.
Because
for a local call, it knows whether there's coins have been dropped in based on the pulse of ground, whereas for long-distance calls, it goes by the tones.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense.
So if you had a very... good quality recording of the tones, one could use that for long-distance calls, and that's what a red box is, essentially.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if anyone else is interested in calling and asking any questions, which I don't really recommend because we're having technical issues with these stupid phone patches, but the telephone number is 837-3400. The area code is 309. So 309-837-3400. And we have Mark Bernay on the phone. Now, can I ask you, what does the last name? I hear a lot of people who are freakers use that name. What does that mean?
Well, I wonder if this would be a good time. A friend of mine named Al Bernay was there along with me when the name Bernay was first adopted by us, and he sounded willing to be part of this. And Al Bernay is interesting because he was doing this sort of thing, playing with phones and doing phone things maybe 20 years before I did or before anyone else ever knew about it.
Uh-huh.
And do you want me to add him on?
Absolutely, yeah, that would be a treat.
Okay, hold on one second.
Okay, well, we're going to wait for Mark Bernay to have Al Bernay get on the phone with us and discuss freaking and telephones. And I hear Al's phone ringing. Okay.
Maps to Stars Homes. Hello, party.
This is Mark Bernay, and we're on the radio with Byron. I warned you about this phone call.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
Byron's asking me the history of the name Bernay, why we all have this name Bernay, and since you were there at the beginning of it, I thought I'd add you on, then we could explain it.
Well, it's a little complicated. I'll try to short telescope it a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been running a business where I have kids that sell maps that show where the movie stars live. And I was, this is in, I think back in 1972 or something like that. I was at his house, and his sister had a boyfriend by the name of Bernay. The last name was Bernay. And I didn't think anything of it, but a little while later, we used to, they got into a fight, the sister and the boyfriend. So I had a phone patch, and I called the girl, and I called the boy, and they each accused each other of calling each other, and we recorded the conversation, and it came out disjointed and segmented. And the resulting recording was so funny that we just adopted the name Bernay.
Let me add one thing though. The recording wasn't disjointed just accidentally. It wasn't that the real Mark Bernay was confused or anything. Al also played with tape recorders a lot back then, and this was to some extent a prank call to Mark Bernay. And what Al did is he tape recorded Mark Bernay one sentence at a time, then instantly spun the reels back and played back that same sentence. So Mark Bernay heard his own voice coming back, a fraction of a second after he said something. So the tape is very disjointed because it's Mark Bernay talking to himself without realizing what's going on, and then this tape is the result of that whole thing.
And he did not recognize his own voice.
Right.
That is weird.
So we then discovered that if we took this tape and played it to other people, if we just made prank calls to people and played the tape to them one sentence at a time, they would talk to it. And we could then rewind the tape and play it to them again one sentence at a time. And only after about three or four playings of the tape would they realize something was wrong here. It was just kind of funny. So I made a copy of the tape and took it home, and I started making prank calls to people playing the tape one sentence at a time. And I don't know, it was just so much fun that around that time I just wanted to choose a phone handle, so I just kind of started calling myself Mark Bernay because that tape was so funny.
That is so weird. Is that tape available on the Phone Trips website?
No, the real Mark Bernay is probably still alive and well, and I just don't want to get his voice anywhere. So I have the tape, but I don't want to
put it
on the radio or on the website or anything.
Strom is in the chat room asking if we could possibly get him on the call. Is there any way we could do that?
Yeah, just at his regular home number.
I can ask.
Actually, you know what? No, I have Al on my three-way, so no, I can't get him on with decent volume. No.
Okay.
So I can't do that.
He cannot call the station directly.
We kind of have a problem with we have two lines here, but when we have both lines on, which we actually heard earlier in the evening, when we have two callers on the same line, it's very bizarre sounding. So, if there's any way we might be able to get him on the line. I'm not sure how
could with your Vonage. I say you could just click the hook switch and should be able to get a three-way dial tone. But it won't sound like it, but it just have faith that it is.
Okay,
and then click your hook switch after he answers.
Mark Bernay, it sounds like you and I need to get together and build her a switchboard.
He's got stuff, but it just it's meant for patching into a ham radio, from a phone to a ham radio, and he has two of them back to back, and they're feeding back into each other.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work well.
Strom, if you're listening to this, if you could post your phone number to me, I can give this thing a try. I'll have to turn you guys down so that his phone number tones don't get broadcasted over the air. But I've never tried three way on a Vonage, so I guess we could give it a try.
Yeah, or let me look up his phone number. Okay. Let me send it to you privately if he's not on anymore.
Okay.
Actually, wait for DCC section. Hold on a second. Okay, you're there.
Okay,
yeah.
There's the chat.
Again. Okay.
Okay. Well, let me... I'm going to turn off my microphone. Well, I don't know. Let's see here. How are we going to... I'm going to pick up the Vonage, I guess. And... which one's the Vonage? Here we go. I'm going to walk over to this computer. Now, keep in mind, this studio was, like, made for three people, and they're all on vacation, so I'm the only one here. So I'm
broadcast
just like,
every Friday night?
Well, actually, if you go to www.wtnd.us, I'm here pretty much all day.
Oh, okay.
Every day. And this show, Tech This, is one of many shows on the Wookiee Satellite Radio Network. And the two websites you might want to check out also for information on other programs, first of all, is dishnuts.net. That's DISHNUTS.net. And the satellite radio network page is W0KIE.com. So those are the two pages that you might want to check out.
Yeah, I think I already have you bookmarked on those.
Okay, let's see here. I'm trying to figure out which one of these buttons would be flash on this telephone. Let me pick up the phone here. Okay, hang on just a second. Oh, this is complicated. I don't know how I'm going to get you guys off. And let's see here.
Well, your volume went up suddenly.
Yeah, that's because I'm on the actual telephone now. So let's see here. I turned the Gettner off. And, no, not the moment. Actually, well, I'm on the air. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw on a phone trying to figure out how in the heck I'm going to get this group all hooked up together. Yes, this is the most unprofessional radio program ever. My name is Byron Lee, filling in for Tom, Darrell, and Duane on Tech This. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let me hang up
the
phone.
Are we on the air now?
Okay, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Hello, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, talk about dealing with technology you're not used to. Well, that's what this whole show is all about, playing with new technology and seeing how things work, and that's what I just did, live on the air, but that's okay. So we have Strom, and we have Mark, and we have Al.
Well, hello. It's good to be back.
Hello.
Hello.
So somebody has a whistle?
Yeah, in the meantime, I went and found one of mine. Strom has one. If you want to hear Captain Clutch whistle, the raw whistle out of the box.
Someone's trying
like
to call me. Someone's trying to call me on my telephone line, so I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
But the Captain Clutch whistle with both frequencies sounds like this.
Oh, man.
And then if you glue or cover or glue one of the holes, then you get a 2600 like this.
Oh, weird.
And then we used to be pretty good at dialing just by moving your, wiggling your tongue in and out. But I probably used to be able to do it faster because that's a little slow.
Now, 30 years ago, we both would have been hung up on by what he's doing.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
the mere presence of 2600 like that would be interpreted as a disconnection on the trunk, and we would have been knocked off, yeah.
Ah, so if we were really on this old phone system, we would have probably just gotten knocked off.
Exactly. I would not be able to demonstrate this, exactly. I'd have to demonstrate it with some other frequency just to give you the idea.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see here. Oh, Blair in the chat room said, is that the smoke alarm going off? No.
No, that's just the Captain Crunch whistle.
Oh, man.
No, Al. I wonder if Al can still do this. Al used to be able to do break dial tone and do a touch tone strictly by his mouth. He used to be able to hum one frequency and whistle the other frequency at the same time and get a touch tone accurate enough to at least break a dial tone. Can you still do that?
I doubt whether I remember the frequencies. I can still do the 2600, but
But can you hum at the same time and make a dial tone?
I could if I remembered the frequencies.
Uh-oh, hey, guys.
I can read you back the actual numerical frequencies.
Well, I mean, I'd have to hear it by ear.
We have a problem. We're waking up dogs over here. Blair's lady in the chat room says, looks like you guys have just perked up Riley, and Riley is her great Pyrenees. Well, her okay Pyrenees, not her great Pyrenees.
Okay. Well, dogs start responding at 3,000.
Ah.
So 2,600 is getting into their range.
Yeah. Man, that's pretty loud stuff, man. I mean, I'm telling you what.
So what are the other frequencies besides 2600 that got used? I think 700 and 1100 or something were some of the other frequencies that got used?
Well, for the multi-freak, yeah.
For the multi-freak, there was, I think it was like 700 through 1500 hertz that you played in various combinations. And then there was, I think N3 carrier was the 2600, and then there was something else which was 3700 hertz controlled trunks. I don't remember what the name of that was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't either. Do you remember the Hammond organ I had in my basement?
Maybe. I don't even do MF with organs. I've seen people do that.
Yes,
yeah.
I was able to MF through that little organ.
Yeah, I knew someone else who did that. Someone found an organ on the street outside his house that someone had thrown away, and he took it in and made a blue box out of it. Yeah.
Was that Evan Dorbell?
Probably like the world's largest blue box. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So well, I guess as long as it played the tones, it didn't really matter what size it was if you were didn't need to take it with you.
Exactly, yeah. And nowadays, of course, you can do it with a PC. You know, people don't realize this, but there's commercial software like Cool Edit or SoundForge. Both of those have MF generators built into the software.
Oh, yeah. I have a version of Cool Edit Pro, yeah. And I was trying to put together an example of the tones that would be used, but I didn't get it done in time.
I have that on my computer here, so I can kind of assemble that while we're talking.
Yeah. But I know they have a section, a menu where you can insert sounds, where it'll generate the pure tone and insert so many seconds of it or whatever. And both those programs can generate touch tone and MF. Don't ask me why.
I just got creamed by Blair's lady. She said he didn't even say it was a pretty good Pyrenees. He said it was an okay Pyrenees. I'm hurting her feelings over here. Okay, Riley's an awesome Pyrenees, okay?
Someone asked about the MF Boogie. I do have recordings of the MF Boogie, but I don't have any convenient way to play it for you right now, but I do have...
Isn't that song... never mind.
It's a song that's not really made with a blue box. Someone played it on an organ, but he chose frequency, he chose notes and sounds on the organ that have a lot of blue box sounding things in them in the middle of the music.
Uh-huh.
I had my keys numbered to correspond. So I don't remember the actual letters of the notes. They were just numbered on my keys.
Ah.
And because the Hammond organ was done by a spinning magnet, the tones were not pure sine waves. In other words, they were not smooth curves. And many times I'd have to try up to 10 times to get a call to work from that organ.
Wow.
Okay, let's see. What would be an MF sequence that you would...
Here's what MF sounds like.
Yeah, I'm trying to generate an actual sequence. What is something you would dial in?
If it mentions key pulse, you'd want key pulse, then area code, phone number, or start. If it shows key pulse and start as separate things.
So we'll do 311-555-2368,
okay.
Which is your standard bell system fake number. Let me just listen to it. Okay. So this is key pulse 311. I've got the feed going on in my background. Let me pause that quickly. Okay, this is key pulse 311-555-2368 start.
Yeah, that sounds pretty authentic.
That is really weird. I had heard somebody do a version of Funky Town with MS tones before. That was really bizarre.
Searching my hard drive, I really don't remember where I have the MF Boogie recordings. I was going to stick them on the phone trip tape someday, and I never got around to it, and I forget where I have them now.
I think one of the scenes in a movie that really struck me, in fact, I think that's where I heard it from, because I was really getting into, I'd heard this Art Bell episode with Captain Crunch, and I was really getting into the reading of articles and things, and I just laughed my butt off when I saw, I think it was Short Circuit 1 or 2, where they were trying to get a hold of this guy's girlfriend on her answering machine and trying to figure out where they were being held, and he's playing these songs in dial tones. It was real bizarre.
Okay, I found them. Let's see. They're on a different machine. I don't really have any convenient way to play it right now other than holding the phone up to a speaker on the computer. That should be good enough.
Do you still have that
recording of the English girl giving us a tour of the world via telephone sounds?
Oh, weird.
No. You know the recording I'm talking about?
Doesn't even sound familiar. I may well have it on some tape somewhere.
Yes, she had South Africa ringing noises all over.
Did I ever play it on my recording line?
Yes, you did.
Let me mention that very briefly, why these recordings even survive. When I moved to Seattle, Al Vernay and a couple other people in L.A. were interested in knowing what the phone sounded like in Seattle, so that's how I originally started making recordings. I would just mail tapes to Al and people. Then I started a recording line where people would call in. Al had been doing this, I'd say, for many, many years before I got into this at all. Al was running recordings on the phone line that people would call in and listen to, which was much more difficult then than it is now. Now, nowadays, anybody can do that just by buying an answering machine. But back then, you couldn't legally buy your own answering machine, and you had to get one from the phone company. It was very expensive, so no one ever did that. And Al built his own answering equipment and his own tape players to play into the phone line and stuff. So I started doing that when I moved to Seattle. And once I made these tapes to mail to Al, I then started playing them on my phone line, and that kind of started feeding back. So I went out and made more tapes just to put them on my phone line and mail to Al and all that. And that's where all those tapes came from. That's why they were originally made. And
neat.
I luckily happened to save all of them. You know.
Now, as far as I can tell, I haven't been making telephone calls from a whole lot of different places, but it seems like the telephone ringing and the dial tone and all that stuff seems to be pretty uniform everywhere nowadays. Or is that not true?
It's true, yeah, because they standardized it when they went to the electronic switching system. They just kind of, everyone decided to make it all sound the same. So even though there's different brands of electronic switches, they still kind of sound the same pretty much.
Yeah, I have a friend in Southern California who claims that, you know, the various types of electronic switches sound slightly different. But, I mean, I haven't been able to hear much different.
Well, I'm sure there's differences in the clicks and things, but the actual tones probably sound pretty much the same.
No, all the recordings that you get vary. I've heard some ones that sound very... In fact, I was listening to a phone trip during the show, and I heard a recording that was, you know, done like 1970, and I've heard it before. So a lot of these, you know, disconnected number recordings vary, but that's just about the only thing you'll find.
Okay.
Now, did the did that thing always exist, or was that just something that began recently, and why do they do that?
The tones in the beginning of a recording?
Yeah, those are called special information tones, and those are... kind of a recent development. I think they started coming about in the 1980s, correct me if I'm wrong. But what they are, basically they were a way, you know, before the digital out-of-band signaling, which we call Signaling System 7 or SS7, you'd use those, and there's a whole, you know, if you listen to the various tones that play before disconnected numbers or numbers that have been changed or, you know, the various different types of intercepts, you know, you'll hear differences in the tones, and they're, you know, each set of tones indicates a different thing. So you would have your equipment on the other end listening for those tones, and if you'd heard the tones for a disconnected number, you know, you would know, okay, it's been disconnected. If you heard the tones for a change, the equipment would know, okay, it's been changed. And if you go and you buy those, you know, telezapper things at the store, that's kind of what they do. They operate on the premise that the telemarketer's equipment is still listening for those tones, and it will play that, you know, a tone or two when you pick up your phone every time.
Okay, so it basically just listens for that tone and disconnects the computer from the phone.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, you know, of course, if, like, Jane Barbie, the woman who did all the time recordings and all the intercept recordings, you know, at least the standard ones, she still has, you know, if you dial around, there are still recordings of her on the network. For example, in Las Vegas, I know they still have her doing all the recordings for their local switches.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back there one time, and I took some recordings of, you know, recordings that would play if you dialed the number incorrectly, or if your call did not go through, or if you didn't dial anything. And I kind of hacked them up, and this is, you know, this is Jane Barbie on crack. Let's put it this way.
Oh man.
Wow. I'm sorry, you're not in service at this time. If you need assistance, please check your dialing procedure and call the recording. Or ask your operator for the number 3. This is the recording. 70363.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess we were listening to How I Became a Phone Freak, and they're talking about how the numbers at the end of the recordings were basically a area code and then another digit to sort of be used as a locator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, those were the toll tandems on AT&T's network. And, like, for example, if you know, a lot of times sometimes you'll get recordings from central offices, you know, end offices, and in that case, you'll just get the area code and the prefix of the central office.
Ah, okay. Oh, Blair says something really interesting in the chat room. He said that the next generation of predictive dialers are ignoring the SIT.
Yeah, because yeah,
from the articles I read about it, it's because they're either using ISDN or they're using a direct signaling system 7 connection into the phone network so that they can see directly whether someone answered. So if they see that somebody answered, they know that the tones are fake because the tones would come out at a time when the phone did not look like it had answered yet.
Yeah.
So I think I was reading between the lines on the articles about that. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That is what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really bummed out because the time has seemed to have run short on us, and we're kind of just getting into the meat and potatoes of freaking and telephone history and all that kind of stuff, and really fascinating, but, oh, I hate time. I wish it didn't exist.
Well, I would do this again. That's no problem. You can call in again some other week.
Okay, well, Tom, Daryl, and Duane will be back from their trip to San Francisco, and I'm sure that they've got some questions to ask you guys, so maybe we'll try and coordinate some other time to do some more telephone freaking discussions, and we'll try to play some more of these phone trips next week.
I did find an MF Boogie. If you want to close the program with that music or something, I could...
Actually, yeah, why don't you play that before we end the show?
Okay.
2, 1, start.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I've got about 2 or 3 other versions of it. Evan Doorbell wants something.
Well, if you guys wouldn't mind sending me your numbers again, because, of course, I've closed down the window since you sent me those, but I will leave those numbers in a file, and I would like to actually talk to you guys off the air one day.
Sure.
You guys are definitely rocking dudes, man.
Oh, sure, no problem.
All right, guys, well, I'll talk to you at some other time. We have to go over to the comedy section of our archives and play some comedy on WQNA. But thank you very much.
I wish we had a show like yours in our area.
Yeah. Well, definitely, you can listen to the Internet, and I'll give you guys the info for that for listening on the chat room if you want to relay that to Al.
We can make jokes about GTE and call that comedy, right?
Yeah, that's it. All right, well, thanks for calling, guys.
Okay, good enough.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
But, well, there we go. Now we've got microphone back. My name is Byron Lee, and you're listening to Tag This, and we're going to go join WQ&A now and do some comedy on Saturday Morning Confusion. My name is Byron Lee, and you're listening to RFD, WQ&A, WTND, and RFD and the Wookiee Satellite Network.